You heard the good news?
What's the good news?
It's supposed to start raining again soon.
Yeah, it's great.
Woo! Hot damn!
I did walk the dog today, and that's not coat. In the Marina Del Rey area, and I thought to myself, sunny and 73 in February.
It was beautiful out there.
Is why we live here.
It's true. I was out walking the dog as well. I wonder if at the same time mine was code. And yeah, I was just like the temperature and that breeze, man. It was so nice.
I had the quickest act of aggression that's ever happened on that walk.
Really?
Yeah. It was like a full argument in 3 seconds.
Wow. With who?
A woman walks up and says, "Oh, look how cute your dog is."
Shut up!
And then leans over and the dog sniffed her hand and walked on. She goes, "What's wrong with your dog?" And I said, "She just doesn't like you." Just kept walking. It was like, what just happened?
Wow.
That was,
wow.
We were both at a 9, and I'm not sure why.
Wow.
It was weird.
That's weird. So what, your dog just didn't feel like sniffing?
No.
And why is that a problem?
I don't know.
Why is that your problem?
I don't know, but she yelled at me, and I yelled right back.
And then you just went about your day.
And then I walked on and go, what just happened? That's so weird.
Modern life.
That is just so strange.
That is weird.
All right, let's talk about today's show, shall we?
Yep.
Give me five songs in a row at 5 o'clock with a theme.
Today, it's either you can or you can't. So either you can or you can't. Both of those. It has to have you and can or you and can't.
Oh, it does. It has to have you in it as well. Oh, I didn't understand that. How about that?
It's funky.
Look at you making all the rules. Twitter is all bots now.
Boy, that's a fact.
Yeah.
Just nothing but Russian sex bots, which is great. I'm so happy.
If that's what you're going there for, you're in luck. Strangest place you had sex?
Excuse me? We're not doing number.
I have to do that about twice a year because there's so many different stories.
Sure.
Who's naked now?
Who's naked now?
One American dollar,
nice.
And People Are Dumb is coming up next. Plus, we have tickets for the comedy show that we're doing Thursday night, the Blue Shirt Comedy Night.
That is tomorrow night at the Laugh Factory. You can still buy tickets, or...
Or we're going to give them away today. What time?
I don't know.
4 o'clock hour, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
And we have tickets for Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller at the SoFi Stadium.
We're going to give those away. Well. I don't know when. So I don't know if that's helpful.
Right. Yeah. That's coming up on 95.5 KLOS.
A little Ass Kickers, Black Crows, Wanting and Waiting from the Happiness Bastards album. Those guys out in support of that album. They're going to be here in Los Angeles at the Greek Theater. That is happening on April 12th before they move on to the UK, London, Amsterdam, Milan in May. So they got a hell of a lot of shows coming
up. Greek is a nice place to see someone.
Great place. And they also played the KLOS Helpful Honda Rock Room not too long ago with, what, 3 people in there or something like that? Well, that was pretty damn cool.
It was pretty cool,
thanks to them for that.
Hey, you know what?
What's that?
People are dumb.
I've heard that.
People are dumb when you're a dum-dum. Kevin and Sluggo, they ought to know.
Bling.
Hardcore band, Yorona, I think it starts with a double L.
Okay, don't know. Offhand.
Because there was a movie that came out that had, I don't know.
Okay.
Fire vocalist over alleged scheme of secretly dosing bandmate with estrogen.
Wait, he wanted to see if the bandmate would grow boobies?
Diego is the lead singer.
Okay.
And his guitarist... Mm-hmm. has a fiance that Diego is obsessed with.
Okay.
All this came out in text. They actually literally put it up on Instagram. All the text, because Diego got drunk and was like, "Yeah, I really love your woman, man, and I've been feeding you estrogen for like 5 months.
What?
Yep.
Wow. I didn't even know how to approach that.
They accused Diego. They fired him, by the way.
Sure.
They accused Diego of having secretly been dosing one of the members, 6, with estrogen, essentially forcing a several-month transition onto him.
Yeah, sure.
Which I don't know that that's the way it works.
Well, it doesn't help, that's for sure. It probably makes him a little, "I'm sorry, this has never happened to me before, dear." You know, that kind of thing.
I'm guessing not.
No?
No, I don't think that's how it works at all. We've decided to part ways with our vocalist, Diego, due to admission of very disturbing and concerning behavior toward one of our band members and their partner.
Can you imagine the room? Everybody's really drunk. They've been having a good time, probably blasting some music, and Diego just starts shooting this off, just saying all of this stuff. Again, just like silence in the room, right?
He admitted to being obsessed with this guy's fiance and has been attempting to sabotage their relationship by cutting pre-workout he frequently gifts from his job with high amounts of estrogen in them. And this is the part where he thinks he's going to pay off. He has been attempting to force a transition onto him for the last 5 months in the hopes that that would give him the opportunity to swoop in.
Why did I know it was going to be swoop in?
Once he looked stronger and more manly in comparison.
And then he spills it all. His perfect plan. He would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for that Budweiser. What the hell? Hey, I see a dollar laying on the ground. Can I just have this? No. Make me work for it?
You're going to have to work for it.
No.
We were just talking about the band that kicked out their lead singer because he was...
Oh, yes. What was the name? Some bizarre... Well, he was trying to estrogen up his guitarist so that...
He could steal his woman.
Yeah. So he would suddenly be far more attractive than his guitarist.
Right.
To his woman.
Who would be much weaker... What?
His fiance, in fact. This guy's fiance. And he would have gotten away with it if he hadn't told him about being drunk. When he was drunk, he spilled the beans.
And texted it to him, too. He didn't just say it. He texted it, which has been shown on their Instagram.
I don't know why. Why would they fire him for that?
So that brings us to
the topic today,
the top 10 bands that have fired one or more of their members.
I think that none of these probably have someone who is estrogen
dosing. No, that was a unique one. But I will tell you that we play most of them.
We do.
Yeah.
There's always a little fighting going on in the band.
Top 10 bands that have fired one or more of their members.
You know, you don't want to fire your member. You want to treat your member well.
Right. Agreed.
Well, Van Halen leaps to mind.
Van Halen.
Why don't you just move on out of there?
Three.
And then try and get back together, and that doesn't work, and oh, my goodness.
Well done.
I always feel sorry for Mr. Best of the Beatles. Beatles kind of let them change the course of his life. No, that's not in the top 10.
It's not in the top 10.
Beatles is not in the top 10.
Didn't he leave?
Yes, I think they sort of kind of like it was a mutual.
Oh, well, I think this is just straight firing.
I guess he did sort of. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that makes so that's more. Wrong, and it's going to count against you.
Pink Floyd.
So you're saying Pink Floyd?
Yeah.
That's your guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, One American Dollar is brought to you by the Yamaval Resort and Casino at San Manuel. Spend One American Dollar at Yamaval. Maybe you'll become a millionaire. Visit Yamaval.com.
This is Yamaval.
Yeah.
This is Sluggo.
Damn it. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Falling out with Steve. What?
Sorry.
Well, who are these top 10 then? Menudo. They fire people all the time.
You are not going to get it, so I'll just...
kids grow up and they get fired.
Number 10 is Slipknot.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Number 9 is Iron Maiden.
Okay, all right.
Number 8 is Hawkwind, which I hadn't heard of, but that's Lemmy from Motorhead. They kicked him out of their band because...
That was wise.
He was charged with possession of drugs.
Oh, wait, not. Can you imagine...
And then he formed Motorhead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting rid of Lemmy? What are you thinking?
7, Guns N' Roses.
Right, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 6, Metallica.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah.
Dave Mustaine.
Yeah.
Number 5, AC/DC.
Who do they fire?
There was a lead singer before Bob Scott.
Oh, there was?
I didn't know this either.
Nope.
His name was Dave Evans, and he was fired because the band thought he was, quote, too glam.
Well.
That does track.
Yeah, that does. Yeah. Although coming out of Australia, I can see why.
Number 4 is Slayer.
Okay.
The drummer was kicked out. Number 3, you got Van Halen. Number 2 is Rolling Stones.
Okay, yeah.
And number 1, you should have gotten.
Yeah.
Was Black Sabbath.
Yeah, I was thinking, but I'm like, you know, whatever. Whatever. That's my excuse.
Whatever?
That's mine. Look, right there.
Why wouldn't you say it? Why wouldn't you say Ozzy?
It breaks my heart.
That's not the game.
It's just an awful thing. I'd rather not have a dollar than think about that awful time.
You're the worst.
And I guess we have an important question for everybody now. Is that right?
We do.
Yeah.
Who's naked now?
When was the last time you went to Venice Beach?
Venice?
Yes.
I used to go down there a lot.
Same.
I haven't been there. I'm going to say since the early aughts at the latest. It's been ages.
Wow,
ages. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
This is hilarious because the article starts. It's probably been a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It was just another day at California's Venice Beach.
Right.
As two women, one fully clothed, the other butt naked, battled it out on this boardwalk.
That is not surprising to me. I think you would have seen that a lot in the 70s and 80s, but yeah.
And everybody's response is exactly what you would think, because when you watch the video, it's a naked woman that's sort of on the rampage.
Right.
And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. We're at Venice Beach. And, you know, videotaping her, or just stepping back a little bit to get out of the way.
Is she in front of, like, Muscle Beach? Or is she in front of any of the, you know, iconic paintings or anything?
No.
Just random.
Just
locations.
Random. Yeah. And then a woman shows up, and this is bizarre. A woman shows up with, it looks like a bat with nails in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's taking care of business.
It looked like a spiked bat of some kind.
Wow.
And so then she was like, come on, let's go. And the naked girl stayed in front of her.
Ta-da.
And waited.
Yeah.
Waited her out. And finally, the woman just threw the bat at her.
Threw it at her.
Yes.
Didn't come swinging.
At which point, naked woman picked up the bat and ran after.
That's what would happen.
Woman. Right. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Just another day at Venice Beach. 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. It's Kevin and Sluggo in the afternoon.
We have guests in the studio.
We have guests in the studio.
I think this has happened very little since the lockdown, when people actually venture out into the real world.
That is true. Frasier Smith.
Howdy, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you? Good to see you
again. Tom Arnold, hi.
What's happening, guys?
How are you?
What's happening?
Got to get
it's good to be good. The lockdown's over.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I died during the lockdown.
Did you?
Yeah.
So, how was that?
Making a comeback.
We were just talking off the air about how you got the gig on True Lies, because that's one of my favorite movies.
Yes. Well, True Lies is, that I've been in 150 movies, four good ones. So True Lies, it holds up, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking at the time, it came out, it's a huge hit. Everybody stayed friends. And I thought, oh, gosh, that's what all movies are like. And it turns out no movies are like that. But, it was at the end of Roseanne and I's relationship. And, because I had a great job working on the Roseanne show for 6 years,
sure,
which I lost the same day I lost my wife. It's ironically, they say those are two of the biggest things you could get.
Yes.
The divorce and death is the only other thing.
You got that, too.
Yeah, I definitely did. But,
collect the whole set.
I think that our agent, William Morris, that's what he used to be called back in, was afraid that we were leaving, Roseanne and I were leaving the agency, and they had a lot on the line because of the Roseanne show and different things. And so my agent, John Burnham, this guy, they're like trying to scramble to figure out how to keep us. And he calls one day and goes, hey, James Cameron wants to meet with you about this movie, True Lies. Now, I knew that, like, real good actors were meeting James Cameron about the part that he was saying, and I knew it was BS, you know, and I'm like, no, that's not true. He's like, oh, absolutely, you got to go. And I almost did go, because it was a mercy meeting. I know he called, which actually ended up to be true. He called James Cameron, please, we do a lot of business with you. Would you meet this weirdo? And so, so I almost didn't go because I had a little bit of self-esteem, but I thought, well, wait a minute. This is the only chance I'll ever get to meet James Cameron.
Right, true.
Like, I want to meet. I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah.
So I go over there to his office, and we chit-chat a little bit. He's a really nice guy. And then he says, do the scene. And I said, okay, I'm going to be honest. I didn't even read it because I know I'm not going to get the movie. Yeah. So why even try? If you don't try, it hurts less, I think.
Sure.
That's what I try to teach
Hope
my kids.
Hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like, huh. Well, it's three pages. Just read it once for me. And I read it once, and then he was looking at me, and he yelled up, there's a loft. I didn't know. He yelled, get Arnold down here. No, I did not know Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the building.
Really?
And then Jim Cameron said, we watch Arnold come down the stairs, big Arnold Schwarzenegger he kept. And Jim Cameron said, the real reason he cast me is because when Arnold was walking down the stairs, I turned to him and said, I could take him. And I met we're the same high, 6'2".
You meant that.
So, and then Arnold came. We did that same scene one time, and Jim filmed it and said, that's it. Wow. Okay, you got the part.
Wow.
Nice. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he said, but don't tell anyone for 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, yeah, I swear to God I won't tell anyone the best news of my life for 2 weeks. All right, guys, got to go. I get in my car and get on the phone and call everyone. And, you know, my own wife thinks I'm back on drugs. And nobody believes me. And I got home and I was looking at myself in the mirror before I went to bed. And I went, wait a minute, what? Maybe that didn't happen. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Why would he ask me to wait 2 weeks? It makes no sense. Well, I found out after the movie came out why, because he didn't tell me till we were done. But he had to go to Fox Studios because this is the most expensive movie ever made.
Oh, and, at that point, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, at the time. And he had to go to them and give them the good news. And he goes over to a meeting with the president. He goes, hey, good news. We found the third person after Arnold and Jamie Lee Curtis, and we can start filming True Lies. They're like, that's fantastic news, Jim Cameron. Who is it? And he said, it's Tom Arnold. They're like, yeah, that's horrible news. And he's like, Jim's like, why do you say that? And he goes, well, don't you read the tabloids? I mean, he's a crazy person, you know? And Jim Cameron says, no, I don't read the tabloids, but I wrote this movie, and he's the guy. Nice. And they're like, well, Jim, we're sorry, but we cannot approve Tom Arnold for this movie. And Jim Cameron said, actually, I'm sorry, because I wanted to make the movie here at Fox. Now I'm going to go down the street and make it a Paramount. Is and they were like, right? Yeah, and, cool. Which is unbelievable. And they're like, okay, we'll give him a chance. Well, yeah, he'll be out day to day. Of course, I didn't notice. So on the set, when the Fox guys came over, I'd be hugging them. Thank you for choosing me, loving on them. But they hated me. They're waiting me to screw up. But, you know, that movie, you know, it was 7 months. It was, you know, great. My relationship with Arnold Schwarzenegger in real life is like our relationship a lot in that movie. It was great fun. And then I didn't know this till after the movie came out, but the first test screening of the movie, they take people, a couple other people, put them in a theater. They don't know what they're going to watch. And they're sitting there, and all of a sudden it comes up, a James Cameron movie, and people are going nuts. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, people go crazy. Jamie Lee Curtis, yay! And then it said Tom Arnold, and they booed. They booed.
Wait, they didn't just quiet down?
No.
They actually booed.
You know, it was, but at the end of the movie, they fill out the cards on who they liked the best.
Yeah.
And that was me, my character.
Nice.
So in a 2 hour period, people went from hating me, who didn't know me, to loving me, who didn't know me. Which
you were charming in that
Hollywood
movie. Lovable.
It was great. Totally. No, it was great. Yeah. It was great fun, you know, and, you know, Arnold and I, we did become friends. Like, you always think, and we're still buddies to this day, and I'll tell you how I knew we were friends, because first of all, before we started filming, James Cameron was like, how would you like Arnold to come over to your house and trade with you? And I was like, yeah, I believe I would like the greatest bodybuilder that ever lived to come to my home and work out with me at my unused home gym. And so the next day, I opened the door at 6 a.m., and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot you were coming, Arnold. Everybody I've ever met is here. Guys, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so we go up to the gym, we work out, and then Jim Cameron calls me that afternoon, goes, what time do you want Arnold there tomorrow? And I go, I don't. And he said, why? I said, well, not now, number one, I could say I worked out with Arnold Schwarzenegger, sure, which is a big thing.
Yeah.
And number two, it's a lot of pressure to work out with Arnold, sure, Schwarzenegger, because he genuinely wants to help you. And he knows more about the human body than anybody. And he does this thing where he looks you up and down, which I'm uncomfortable with, sure, at any time.
Yeah.
And then he has to give you one compliment. But he's like, Tom, you have fantastic right shin. Then he starts in on your trouble spots. I got a lot of trouble spots. Yeah, something like that. So Arnold and I, our trailers were side by side. Okay. The whole movie, and he had a semi-truck retrofitted into the gym on the other side of his trailer. So we come out for our trailers every night after work, and he goes, you want to work out? I go, no, I'm going to go to Ben and Jerry's ice cream. For real.
Yeah.
For real. That's what we did every night. Now, here's how I knew we became best friends. Because the movie's supposed to run 3.5 months. It ran 7 months.
Wow.
Yeah, over time, over budget. It started to get to Arnold. By the way, Arnold Schwarzenegger is the most positive person you ever met in your life. He came here in 1968 with, I imagine, a pair of short shorts and a stinky tank top and like 30 cents. And he's every dream he's ever had has come true.
Yeah, true.
He loves it. You know, so he's the most positive person. But the movies start getting to him because we're going so far over. And one night we walk out of there and go, hey, enjoy your workout. And I started to walk away. He goes, no, give me 2 pints of rum raisin. And so from that point on, he stopped working out. out.
Wow.
He started eating with me. He gave weight. He got super depressed. And that's how I knew we were friends, because there's no way he was pulling me up to his level. But you know, as a man, if you can pull a dude down to your disgusting level, that's a friendship.
That's a true friend.
That's a great story.
Fantastic. Yeah. So tomorrow night, we're going to be at the Laugh Factory, and you can get tickets at thelaughfactory.com. Yeah, we're going to take a break, and we will come right back. We're doing our Blue Shirt Comedy Night tomorrow night at the world-famous Laugh Factory. Here's the lineup. Pablo Francisco, Carlos Mencia, Eleanor Kerrigan, Tom Arnold, and Kira Soltanovich.
Tom Arnold.
We have Tom Arnold in the studio with us.
Tom Arnold.
What do you know?
That Pablo does the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing.
Yes, he does.
What's the blue shirt mean?
Well, it's Honda.
Yeah, it's powered by the SoCal helpful Honda dealers.
Oh, we should get paid more. Wait, is Honda the one where Oral Hershiser dances? No, that's another car dealership.
I don't remember, but
I hope he's getting paid a lot of money.
He's got to get paid a lot.
That is what I thought.
It's so bad, it's hilarious.
That is what I thought.
So this is tomorrow night, actually.
It's tomorrow night, yes.
On sale now.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a great show, guys. Yeah, 7:45 at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood.
Well, you're funny. You know, this guy here, I've known him for about 40 years. Yeah, Frazier Smith. And the great thing about him going on before you is he does jokes. Like, he does joke. Not a lot of people do that anymore. And he gets a joke, and he does the thing, and they just keep, you know. So it's always like, well, that's a different style.
You know? Meanwhile, he's 80 years old.
Doesn't matter.
Roger Dangerfield stealing that from you.
As long as they work.
Yeah.
Well, I just wish those were my jokes.
Yeah. They are.
So we were talking about True Lies, that you were in, Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
What happened after that? Did you...
But you mean what?
Your career did not skyrocket after that.
Well, no, I did. It should have hit too. Here's the thing. I worked on the kill floor of a meat packing plant for 3 years out of high school.
Oh,
and,
damn!
You know, to save money, because I hoped to go to college to get on stage there and be famous. You know, basically. And I remember thinking, if I could just save enough money to get to the University of Iowa, I'll be on stage at Student Union, and I'll be famous in 6 weeks, which is not how it goes. But you make your own fun when you work on it. By the way, people are like, how do I get a job I don't get fired from? Get a terrible job. It's super hard to get fired from the kill floor of a meat packing plant. I did eventually. And we had a union back in those days, you know. But you daydream. And, you know, I'd be, Mork and Mindy was on TV. And I was daydreaming, but I was chiseling heads. And you meat packers know that job.
Wow.
The head meat is very good. Up here in the temple, you save that.
I wish you hadn't told me that.
Yeah.
Don't love it.
So I'm chiseling heads. And I'm a Jew when I was working at a pork processing plant. But just like my grandpa. Yeah. But I daydream that I was best friends with Robin Williams, because he was on Booker. And then I got home again that night, look at myself in the mirror. I'm like, I got to quit. I got to quit having that daydream. Because that's so disappointing. I will never even meet Robin Williams. I live in Ottumwa, Iowa. 10 years later, I'm up at Rob Williams' house up in San Francisco. We're getting ready to start this movie, 9 months. He's hosting all of the actors, Hugh Grant, Julianne Moore, Jody Cusack, Jeff Goldblum, and me for a dinner the night before we start, you know. And and at the end of the dinner, it's just me and Robin Williams. And I'm like, hey, Robin, I have been here before. And he said, in my house? Yeah. I go, no, this. Me and you. Best friends. And he's like, we're not best friends. I know, but it's close enough. It's crazy enough. But Hugh Grant and I were best friends. We went out every night. So Hugh Grant had just done a movie called Four Weddings and a Funeral. I just done True Lies, so we had a little something going. And, man, it does seem like we'd be best friends, but we were. He's a British actor. He's whatever. Every night. All the best friend stuff. High-fiving. I love you, man. All that stuff. Madonna came to town, to San Francisco, put on a private concert, and invited Hugh Grant and I to be her special guests. And I think she invited Hugh, and I drove, but it doesn't matter. We went, and we're like, high five, dude, we're going to see Madonna. Holy moly. And we're in a place about the size of this studio.
Tiny.
That's how, it was small for a show.
Yeah.
And we're like so excited. Then she's like, after she played, she's like, would you gentlemen like to come backstage and hang out? We're like, yes. Hell yes, Madonna. Yes. Holy hell, we're going to go backstage, Madonna. High five, high five. And then immediately we get backstage, and Madonna and Hugh Grant had chemistry, and we're all over each other.
Wow.
Like, all over each other. And then she's like, would you gentlemen like to come up to my suite and hang out?
Yes.
And we're like, hell yes, we would. Oh, my God, we're going to Madonna's suite. And then just as Hugh and I get on the elevator, I go, whoa, wait a minute. Hugh, I swear to God, my feelings will not be hurt.
Yes, Hugh was thinking, how do I get rid of Tom?
If I get out of this elevator,
yeah,
and go back to the hotel by myself. And he's like, Tom, and I'm not going to say the word I'm going to use, say F instead of the word. Tom, do you or do you not want to see me F Madonna? I go, well, of course I do. But I didn't want to be a weirdo about it. He's like, stick around, mate. About 10 minutes, I'll be F Madonna. High five. So we get up to her suite. It is the most big, it is huge, the most beautiful suite we've ever seen. Huge. And she's like, you gentlemen make yourselves in here. I'm going to go in that other room and freshen up. And so she leaves and we're just taking it all in, you know, and making ourselves at home. And Hugh grabs a bottle of $200 champagne and chugs it. And then I see a giant white sheet cake there. And I go over and cut the big quarter piece with the most frosting. I start eating that. And then we're just taking it in. And all of a sudden, he was like, 3 o'clock. You see what I see? I go, yeah, that's Madonna's Louis Vuitton luggage. And he's like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And I'm like, yes, let's steal some stuff out of that.
So I go over
and we're just filling our pockets. And all of a sudden, behind us, I hear, what are you able to do? And I turn around, and she's like, oh, my God. You're eating my brother's birthday cake. We're going to surprise him with that tonight.
Oh.
I go, don't worry. I will put this piece back and make it work. I make it work. And she goes, get out of here. You guys are idiots. I go, no. I'm an idiot. You can still have sex with Hugh Grant. She goes, get out of here. So she runs us through the hall, slams the door behind us. And I'm like, oh, gosh, Hugh, I'm so sorry. Now you don't get a F Madonna. She's like, mate, everybody F's Madonna. We got her spoons, man. We stole her spoons. It's better, sir. So you get the end of a movie, you do a so-called press junket. You get a whole hotel floor. Every actor gets their own room. And the entertainment reporters will come room to room and basically ask the same questions over and over. Yeah. But you want to promote your movie. And did I mention Hugh Grant was hilarious? Listen to this. I did, but you could Google this because of what happened. I'm in a movie, in an interview with Entertainment Tonight. Hugh Grant walks right in front of my camera and says, hey, are you getting a hooker tonight? I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't get hookers. I'm married, I think. You get hookers. No, you do. The Entertainment Tonight producer is like, boys, relax. We will never play this clip on Entertainment Tonight. Unless one of you gets arrested with a hooker tonight. And what are the odds of that happening? Well, pretty great, it turned out. So at the end of it, we have a going-away dinner. And I say to Hugh, listen, man, there's a Dodger game Tuesday. Let's hit it, man. Let's keep this thing between, you know, going.
Right.
He's like, Tom, our movie is over. I go, yeah, I know the movie's over, but you're staying on. Listen, we don't have to go to a game. We get a bite to eat. And he goes, I don't understand, Tom. Did you think we were friends? He goes, don't be offended. You can't be friends with everybody you do a movie with, Tom. We're vagabonds. We're show business friends. You know, I'll see you in a year and I'll give you a hug. And that was hurtful, but, you know, I'm learning the rules of show business. So I get on the plane. I landed. I told him I got to go up to Toronto for 48 hours. I get on the plane, landed Toronto, 6 a.m. Sunday morning. I get an emergency phone call from my publicist. She's like, oh, my God. Did you hear what happened to Hugh Grant? And I'm like, holy hell, did he die? And she's like, worse. Much worse. He was arrested with a prostitute.
Yes!
And I've used best friend. I know him well, so I'm like, man or woman? You know, because, no, he's British. You can't tell. I just said Hugh Grant beeps into my phone. He's like, bloody hell, mate. You won't believe what happened just last night, mate. I just got out of jail, mate. Oh, my gosh, where are you? We need to get together and think of a lie to tell Elizabeth. And I'm like, did you think we were friends? That happened. That happened.
Well done.
Nice guy. I love him.
I bet he's cool.
All right, so it's the Blue Shirt Comedy Night. Tom Arnold will be there along with Pablo Francisco, Carlos Mencia, Eleanor Kerrigan, and Kira Sultanovich.
Yeah.
And you can get tickets at the worldfamouslaughfactory.com.
I'm ready to do my Honda commercial. I would use that material right there. I'll tell stories.
No, I'm not positive.
Let's hook up some,
or any car dealer. Yeah. Hot dogs, whatever.
It's going to be a great show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys for coming in.
You guys.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. A Palm Springs horse trail is becoming a popular public sex spot.
I saw that.
Police are confused.
I don't understand that part of the story. I saw the words police are confused.
Yes.
What's confusing about it?
On the day before Valentine's Day, Palm Springs Police Department announced in a news release that officers were investigating a series of complaints of lewd conduct,
which was sex,
woo-hoo, on the Bud Fuhrer Equestrian Trail near the abandoned Bel Air Greens Golf Course.
So it's out there in the middle of nowhere in Palm Springs.
Yes.
It's nice weather at this time of the year.
Right.
I mean, it's a good place for a bit of the old in out, isn't it? So why are they confused?
I think they're confused because it it does seem to be centered right on that same one spot in the middle of nowhere.
So they ride out there, I guess, and got to clean off the horse poop off the trail and then
probably
go for it?
We believe that people are using dating hookup apps to arrange these meetups.
Hot.
They said. He added that it's fair to presume some participants are frequenting the park for a chance encounter with another willing participant.
Or maybe a horse.
A practice...
Stopped you in your tracks.
Gross. A practice known in some subcultures as cruising. I think that's all cultures.
I think that's an Al Pacino movie in the 70s.
So let's talk about the strangest place you had sex.
Oh, okay.
Because they are very puzzled about how this became the hot spot
right.
in Palm Springs.
Right. What about the dugout in like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the baseball thing or whatever? But I would think, you know, like a church rectory would be an odd place.
Sure.
Or maybe you've got a strange place. We want to hear about it. 818-955-KLOS.
Call now and tell us the strangest place that you had sex.
And were there horses around?
We don't need to. Well, of course we need to. We are talking about a spot in Palm Springs that they can't figure out how it became a hot spot for sex.
That's a horse trail, and everybody's hopping off the horse and then hopping on each other.
It's sort of in the middle of nowhere, so we're asking the weirdest place you've had sex.
On top of my motorhome in Zion National Park.
That's awesome.
Why did you go up top?
Because we had a big escape hatch up top, so we climbed up. And
all right.
You want to see the beauty whilst you're getting a bit.
All right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you, man.
KLOS, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. Thank you. We're talking about strangest places you had sex.
Yeah, out for buying down in Deep Creek. We looked around, there wasn't nobody around, so, you know, we got it on, and after we got done, got a standing ovation by several people.
Did anybody hold up a 10 or an 8 or a 5?
Or a 1?
Yeah, pretty much. It was
30 seconds later, a standing ovation.
Beautiful. Lovely.
And, you know, it's like 6 people over there. Wow.
Thanks for calling, man.
KLOS, hello.
The craziest place I had sex, I was a young buckaroo, like 14. It was inside a church, but not like in the... where the seats are at, the altar.
Right.
It was like in the back rooms of the church. You know, I was 14 years old, and yeah, man, it was.
How did you find a girl to go into the church?
Well, it was the pastor's daughter.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's kind of how it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I had a similar experience, but she wouldn't do anything.
Really?
Yeah, a very long time
ago. Did he ever find out, the pastor?
No, thank God.
Can we call him?
We need his phone number, please. Thank you for calling 818-955-KLOS.
The strangest place you had sex.
Hey, yo, what's happening?
The strangest place you had sex.
I once took us in a shoe store.
A shoe store?
Yeah, while it was open, of course.
In a back room?
No, behind the counter.
Behind the counter?
Did you work there?
On the counter.
On the counter. Did you work there? Were you an employee?
No, but she was.
Was there any soul kissing? See, because...
Oh, there was a lot of...
Were there cameras? Were there cameras there?
Before the arrows.
Okay, right up. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling. Off the wall. Indeed.
You do good work. KLOS, hello.
When I was 10 years old, we grew up in Riverside. My dad wanted to go back and see his brothers in Georgia. So we went back when I was 10, and my cousin, she was 12. Anyways, the first night we were there, we stayed with them. She wanted me to go for a walk with her, and she took me to a cemetery.
Whoa!
Weird. Anyways, I lost my virginity at 10 years old in a cemetery with my 12-year-old cousin. And now that I'm 70, I go to funerals and all of a sudden I feel weird about it, you know? But then again, I get to walk away with a smile like, wow, I can reminisce, you know?
That's very interesting.
That is some Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Give me five.
Songs in a row.
Oh, I didn't know where that was going to go. This one is a little bit difficult, I have to say, because we're looking for a combo plate of two words. You can or you can't.
But the you is important.
Yeah, you got to have the word you in there somewhere.
You can or you can't.
And so, The first one is Led Zeppelin, and I think this kind of fits. I can't quit you, baby. So well done. You can or you can't. I can't quit you, baby, there from Zeppelin in the Gimme 5 today. It has to have those words, you can or you can't. And what do we have here?
I can't stand losing you.
The cops, the police.
The police.
Who's this for?
Nigerian Commerce.
Seem confused. I'll have what you're having.
Because this doesn't work.
I'll smoke.
This song doesn't work.
Can't. And you.
Yeah, but they're not next to each other.
That's okay. I'm okay with that.
I still say that's a cheap song. Hello, KLOS.
Is this logo okay?
Yes.
It's both of us.
Oh, my God. Anyway, this is the booze guy calling you boys north on the 5 freeway.
What's up, man? What do you got for the Gimme 5?
You can't always get what you want for the Rolling Stones.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Kane from San Pedro.
Hey, Kane, we're doing Gimme 5 songs with You Can or You Can't in the title.
How about You Can't Kill Rock and Roll from Ozzy?
Perfect. This story caught my eye. Twitter is becoming a ghost town of bots.
That is, dude, I know that for a fact and firsthand.
As AI-generated spam content floods the internet. That, so there's one thing is Twitter, and then there's the internet.
Yes.
And AI is ruining them both.
Yes, it's extremely annoying. I found what these AI bot these bots do, the sex bots. They find old comments that people have made to me, and they like them. And what that does is someone who has made that comment sees that someone liked them, and they go see who liked it, and then they find the sex site. And it's just massive amounts of porn on Twitter.
Wow.
And when you go to these, you know, these sites, which the thing that bugs me about that is they are intentionally finding comments that people made to me.
Right.
And glomming onto them to get business. And I hate that.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not cool, man.
It's not what Elon Musk told us would happen.
Yeah, we're supposed to be freedom of speech.
And so we asked Trixie, our internet expert, to help us out with this story.
What's up, Trixie?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Wait a minute, Trixie, do you run a sex bot site? That seems like something you would do.
Sounds pretty profitable, doesn't it? You know a lot about this logo. It sounds like you've been researching that quite a bit.
Yeah, I have to go look at the porn sites just to make sure. Yeah, I don't have any choice.
It's part of his job.
It is. There you go. Yeah.
Tell us about AI-generated spam content.
Yeah, so it's been an increasing trend that I've been seeing, especially after the whole Elon Musk takeover of Twitter. Even though he was supposed to implement something to stop this from happening by charging $1 for the account that was made, but apparently it's not working, right? So you're seeing a bunch of bots that are commenting, liking, retweeting, like all your posts. And like you mentioned, it has a lot of things that you've liked in the past that are being liked. And I could tell you exactly.
Please do. How does that work? Why are they digging into 2 years ago?
Well, I think what happens is, there's a, did you know that there's a thing on Twitter called Twitter Lists? Have you seen that yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So on Twitter Lists, you could, there's people that can add you to various types of lists that, they have. And it could be anything from anime to porn, let's say.
Right.
And it's pretty much hidden. You could click on lists and you won't see it, but there's an ellipsis that if you click once you're on the list page, and it'll show you to, who's added you to certain lists. And once you click that, you'll see, I looked on mine, there's probably over 100 different lists that people have added me to, ranging from, like I mentioned, anime to porn. And anytime you comment or like or post something, it'll add you to that list, whatever you tweeted or liked. And then from there, those bots can then see what you posted or liked and go and find it and click their likes and just kind of keep going on and on and on. And I think what's happening here is, they're trying to perfect these bots because something big is happening in November 2024.
What? Right? Really?
So it's the election, right? So these bots, they're likely coming from other countries, right? Or political extreme groups. And what they're wanting to do is perfect these bots by either commenting back on a post that's somewhat, you know,
obscure.
Can be pretty heated, right?
Yeah.
No, it could be pretty heated. And, they'll see how many people like or respond to it.
Oh, gotcha.
A lot of people like it or respond, then they're going to tweet their bots so that way they can get more of a response, so that way they can feed that disinformation out there. So they're just pretty much looking at these lists that are part of Twitter as well, just as like a starting point of how to go about and like old tweets or something along those lines, so that way they can, again, perfect their bots.
Well, let me ask you, is there a way to get yourself off those damn lists? Because I will see these weird lists about once a week that have like 40 different ats, different people, different accounts, and I'll be in number 22, and you can leave this conversation so it takes you off that list, basically. But is there a way to get off the other list that you're talking about? Because I haven't even seen that one. I don't even know.
Yeah. So it is hidden. So once you log on to Twitter, on the left-hand side, there's like a panel. You'll see something like home, notifications, and there's an item called list. If you click on that, the list page will pop up, and there's an ellipsis on the top right portion of the screen right next to where it says list. Once you click that ellipsis, you'll see a thing that pops up that says list that you're on. You click that, and then you'll see all the lists that you're a part of, and then you have to go one by one, unfortunately, and just click to remove or block the person that's adding you.
Wow,
that's a lot.
That is
amazing.
It is. The reason I really kind of do it is because I got some very G-rated people, like on some of the other things that I do, not KLOS, because I know you people are not G-rated, and I appreciate that, but very G-rated people, and I don't want them like clicking through and going to, here's granny tranny donkey porn, give me $10 now and you see more.
You got that too?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's terrible. So that is how you do it. One more, can you run that through one more time? So if like you're getting bots, sex bots, whatever, liking your crap, and you don't really want that, how do you get yourself off that list again, Trixie?
Yep. So when you log on to Twitter, on the left-hand side, there's a panel. You'll see, like, home notifications, and there's lists that are on there. So it's towards the bottom of that list, pretty much. You click on that, it takes you to the list page. You'll see lists that you've created and possibly some that your friends have. Ignore that. Look at the ellipsis on the top right of that page. If you click on that, you'll see something else that pops up that says list that you're on. Once you click that, then you'll see all the lists from who knows, God knows who, that added you to various things. And it could, again, it ranges from cars to porn to just any sort of random list that people add you to.
Right.
So anytime that you're posting or liking something, those lists pretty much monitor that, and then they could go back and just say, I want to see everything that the Kevin Ryder has posted, and minus his NFTs that took over his account, but like pretty much everything else.
Right.
And then they could just go back and like it, and again, that's just kind of to like to feed their intelligence and build up for something that's kind of happened later.
Yeah, so what do you think they're planning on? What's their big plan? Do you have any educated guess as a internet specialist?
Yeah, we're already seeing it. It's a lot of the AI spreading misinformation for the election. You're going to see a lot of even like deep fake audios. There was an audio bot that went around, I think it was New Hampshire.
Yep.
With Joe Biden's voice, and it sounded exactly like him.
Yep.
So, and it's just spreading misinformation like that. But what you're seeing is like you're waiting for these companies, or the government, I should say, to do something about
anybody,
but they're not.
Yeah.
But so recently, Meta, Google, OpenAI, and believe it or not, X, they started working on something to design tools to stop this AI.
Oh, well, nice.
So Meta is going to be tagging articles or photos that it can determine that were synthetic in nature. OpenAI, they have their picture platform, and now their text-to-video platform, which is they're going to put hidden watermarks in there, so that way these companies can look for those and try to identify them as fake.
Right.
But you know how people are. They'll just say, it's just their agenda. They don't want you to know about this.
Nope. Let me ask you a question. The one thing that I saw, and I'm really curious, that both candidates are actually aliens from space. Is that true, or is that one of these lies? Because I thought it was true.
One's from Venus, one's from Mars.
Trixie, ladies and gentlemen.
I think one of them's actually from Uranus.
Damn it.
Let's do some great news. Most of the time we make fun of dumb people.
That is 99.9% of the time.
But stuff happens every day that nobody knows about that would restore your faith in humanity.
Bring it,
please. I'll give you a perfect example. Yeah. A garbage man in England saved a man, a woman, and a dog from an apartment fire.
Wow.
And then went about his route.
Wow.
Picked up garbage.
Really?
Yes.
So he dragged them out, or what happened, of the building?
He saw the flames leaping from a flat like a blowtorch, and he heard a woman yelling.
Oh, man.
So he climbed up and found the woman.
Right.
Took her down.
Right.
she said, my husband's up there and my son.
Right.
He goes back up.
Wow.
Gets the husband, goes back up. And I'm sorry, not the son, the dog.
Oh,
and
the dog.
Gets the dog.
Right.
And brings it down.
Nice.
His name is Steve Whitehouse, 49 years old.
And then the firemen finally show up. Oh, did anything go on here?
Hey, what happened here? Even rescuing one of them would have been remarkable, the local fire chief said. But to bring all three out safely was staggering. And then Steve said, I wanted to be sure all of our customers got their trash collected. I did take a breather with a coffee before getting on with the job of collecting
waste.
And
then he just went on about his day after a coffee.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Saved people's lives and then just went about picking up trash.
Very cool. Well done, Steve.
I love that.
Salute.
Time for what we learned. We have a blue shirt comedy night that's happening tomorrow night at the world famous Laugh Factory.
You're going to be hosting it. Frazier Smith is going to be there. That is all tomorrow night. Tickets are available right this second. Where can you actually purchase tickets?
You can get them at theworldfamouslaughfactory.com.
We want to thank Tom Arnold for stopping by this afternoon. That was damn fun.
We didn't forget that he was coming.
No, I definitely had that on my to-do list. And yeah, we're going to post that on our KLOS site. We'll be putting that on socials pretty soon. So if you missed Tom Arnold stopping by, thanks very much to Frazier Smith for bringing him by today. And tomorrow night, go out.
Yep.
Go have some damn fun.
Yep, yep.
All right, I am off to pet the kitty, the wonderful kitty of Oz.
Enjoy. See you tomorrow. Peace out. Tomorrow night, I am hosting the Blue Shirt Comedy Night.
Nice.
Which is going to be great. It is at the world famous Laugh Factory. And we've got Pablo Francisco, Carlos Mencia, Eleanor Kerrigan, Tom Arnold, and Kira Sultanovich. All of them doing stand-up comedy.
You can buy your tickets right this second to go to the Laugh Factory tomorrow night for all of that. Or
you could be caller 25 right now, 818-95. 5-5-KLOS. Good luck.
So, Kevin, tomorrow night when you start the Blue Shirt Comedy Night at the Laugh Factory, you're going to look out into the audience and you're going to see John from Ventura just made himself caller number 25, so he's got tickets to the show. Congratulations, John.
Congrats, John.
Pink Floyd got their very first record deal, signing with EMI Records on this day in rock in 1967. A relative of Ferdinand von Zeppelin, Eva von Zeppelin, threatened to sue Led Zeppelin for using the name Led Zeppelin and the photographs they wanted to use. And so in Denmark, on this day in rock in 1970, Led Zeppelin performed as The Knobs. U2 released the album that was their first to sell a million copies in the U.S. on this day in rock in 1983. It was their third album, War.